Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. It's 3:19 p.m. on the 22nd of November, 2020. And I'm just going to start out reading from Contact Report 579. And this talks about the Nokodamian storage banks. In the Nokodamian storage banks, I have learned a word regarding the difference between the spirit and the human, which vividly presents that the spirit of the human is a tiny part of creation energy in the human. Nokodamian is one of the prior lifetimes of Edward Albert Meyer. There are storage banks in our universe, in our solar system, in our galaxy, on our planet, and there are storage banks that are called the Spiker banks for the spiritual teachings, and there must be individual storage banks. So Nokodamian seems to have his own, and that's where the information for his life exists in some form. And I think consciously or unconsciously, sometimes we're able to pull things out of the storage banks, probably mostly unconsciously or subconsciously for most people, including myself. And sometimes we pull things out of the storage banks which are negative, mistakes that we've made in the past life. And sometimes that can be a problem in the current life. But in this case, I'm sure that this information is all good. Let's continue. Accurate. So this can, with the human, for example, in a way be compared to as the human body is similar to a guest house in which the spirit stays as a guest, where it also feeds itself and makes payment for this. So our spirit form never dies. The body dies. The material consciousness is new with each lifetime. But this little fragment of the spirit stays in our body, and our body's kind of like a guest house. I don't know if you call it a motel or a bed and breakfast or something like that. But let's continue. In this guest house, however, if the guest house, however, is demolished or somehow destroyed, then the spirit, which indeed is guest, leaves the place of destruction. For example, you get run over by a car and you physically die, the spirit form is going to leave. It's going to take the material consciousness out of the body too. It'll go into the spirit realm and energy band around the planet. And then there's something called the it's a storage bank, the overall storage bank, or the comprehensive consciousness block, I've heard it called, where the spirit form works on the material consciousness from the previous life. It goes back through it. It creates the evolutive values, the essences of all of our knowledge and wisdom gained. Things like love and discipline and discernment and confidence and optimism and the ability to stay relaxed. These things are stored into the subconscious and into the spirit form. They're programmed into the subconscious. Let's continue. If the guest house, however, is demolished or somehow destroyed, then the spirit, which indeed is guest, is the guest, leaves the place of destruction. For humans is to be realized that this means that the spirit in him as a guest lives and learns, receives food and lodging, and at the same time it enlivens, pays for food and lodging to the entire body. And when the human dies, then the spirit escapes immediately from the body. It goes over to its beyond area in order then with the new personality in the next life again, it again in it to become bound and be a new guest in a new human body. So 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, the spirit form leaves the spirit realm with a new personality and a new material consciousness, a new subconsciousness, new unconsciousness, goes into the body of the child, causes the heart to beat, and the new life begins again. And there's actually some fairly profound thinking that takes place in this little 21-day-old fetus. I guess we could call it a fetus, loosely call it a fetus. The spirit is therefore not the brain, as it is also not some other part of the human body. It must be understood as a formless continuum in the roof of the brain, paired node superior colliculus of the human. So the spirit must be understood as a formless continuum in the roof of the midbrain of the human. And because the spirit is of formless or non-material nature, it can also not feel or grieve, be sick or be hindered or harmed by any material object or through the intelligence of the human. So the spirit is formless, it's non-material, and it's always neutral positive. It doesn't feel grief, it's never sick. It is therefore very important to understand that there are no unpeaceful or peaceful spirit conditions, because such conditions are reserved alone for the human consciousness. Well, that's very interesting. So the spirit, again, is always neutral, positive, neutral, positive. So we are peaceful, our material consciousness, the human being, is peaceful or unpeaceful at times. Solely can unpeaceful or peaceful or sickness conditions only appear in the consciousness. So you can be mentally ill, you can be depressed, you may have a nervous breakdown or something, but the spirit form is never affected by any of that. Solely can unpeaceful or peaceful or sickness conditions only appear in the consciousness, which can disturb or lift up the inner peace, because only the consciousness is able to create through thoughts and feelings, rage, envy, and desiring disadvantage, blindness, or valuable peaceful conditions, because the spirit itself behaves in every way absolutely neutrally and does not interfere in consciousness interests. Well, that's quite interesting. It's like a standing back and observing almost from what this is saying. The human alone is therefore in every relation responsible for the well-being and the sorrow of his consciousness. Boy, that is exactly what the Might of Thoughts is saying. The human alone is therefore in every relation responsible for the well-being and the sorrow of his consciousness. Consequently, he himself always is responsible for all of his strivings and thought, feeling, psychic-like suffering. Not, however, his spirit, as well as also not other humans, bad community, material, social conditions. So you really can't blame your problems on social conditions, other people who may have attacked you, done you wrong, caused you damage. We still can't blame it. Blame our condition on those people. The human alone is therefore in every relation responsible for the well-being and sorrow of his consciousness. Consequently, he himself always is responsible for all of his strivings. And we know the importance of striving. Striving is one of these creational natural laws. It really, even striving determines our own happiness. With our willingness to strive is our willingness to be happy. And we've all got to learn. We've all got to improve in that area. I know I also think I need to improve in that area for sure. Thought, feeling, psychic like suffering. Not, however, his spirit, as well as also not other humans, bad community, material or social conditions, accepts. Truthfully, originates all of his suffering through blind and pathological, as well as incorrect consciousness conditions through the thoughts and feelings play a very important role. That sounded awkward when I read it. Truthfully originates all of this. This truthfully originates all of this suffering through blind and pathological, as well as incorrect consciousness conditions through the thoughts and feelings. They play a very important role. Seems like there's some missing words in there somewhere, but this is really profoundly important stuff. I almost need to take a little pause here just to try to comprehend what it is that they're saying here. So let's back up a little bit. Solely can unpeaceful or peaceful or sickness conditions only appear in the consciousness, which can disturb or lift up inner peace. So it has nothing to do with our spirit form, because only the consciousness is able to create through the thoughts and feelings, rage, envy, and desiring disadvantage, blindness, or valuable peaceful conditions, because the spirit itself behaves in every way absolutely neutrally and does not interfere in consciousness interests. The human alone is therefore in every relation responsible for the well-being and sorrow of his consciousness. Consequently, he himself always is responsible for all of his strivings and thought, feeling, psychic-like suffering. So we're responsible for our strivings and our suffering, which is consistent with the mind of thoughts. Not, however, his spirit, as well as not other humans, not social conditions. Wow, this is amazing. It also says here we have blind and pathological consciousness conditions. Wow, I never realized how absolutely important this contact report is. This sounds like I'm reading my thoughts. This is really amazing. The most important point with the understanding of the consciousness is that liberation from the mentioned suffering is not outside of itself, but can only be found in itself, as well as thoughts and feelings. A continual liberation can therefore not be found through the spirit, but only through the purification of the consciousness, as well as the thoughts and the feelings. If henceforth the human wants to be free of the consciousness, thought, feelings, psychic-like suffering, as well as problems and sorrows, and if he wants to find continuing peace, freedom, harmony, and an everlasting inner happiness, then he must deepen his knowledge and understanding of the consciousness. So this particular contact report does not have numbers on the lines, which I guess is good and bad, depending on how you look at it. I'm just thinking that I could spend a great deal of time analyzing this and breaking this down. Wow. My goodness. Bear with me here. Okay. Well, I think we already read this, but I'm going to go over the most important point with the understanding of the consciousness is that liberation from the mentioned suffering is not outside of itself, but can only be found in itself, as well as the thoughts and the feelings. A continual liberation can therefore not be found through the spirit, but only through the purification of the consciousness. Well, I'd like to know what that means, what it what the purification of the consciousness actually means. I could guess at a few things, as well as the thoughts and the feelings. If henceforth the human wants to be free of consciousness, thought, feeling, psychic-like suffering, as well as problems and sorrows, and if he wants to find continuing peace, freedom, and harmony and an everlasting inner happiness, then he must deepen his knowledge and understanding of the consciousness. Well, I think I'll raise my hand on that. I'd like to do that. I'd like to deepen my knowledge and understanding of the consciousness. In conclusion, is still the following to say, which I have already previously written, and here add as a partial repetition of the explanation. The human spirit to locate and track down, at least at the present time, is impossible for the human, meaning the earth human, I guess. The Pleiaren can do it. Because neither among the necessary apparatuses nor similar means he has at his disposal can he track down spirit energy and to measure this. The human spirit, respectively, the spirit form, cannot be seen by humans. Again, earth humans, because, well, maybe all humans. The human spirit, respectively, the spirit form, cannot be seen by humans. Because a pure creative spirit energy cannot be detected by human eyes, as well as also not sensed. There are also still no apparatuses or analyzing devices, etc., also not of the ranges of ultraviolet or infrared, through which it would be possible to see the spirit, respectively, the spirit form. Because spirit energy is as invisible as pure air. The spirit, respectively, the spirit form of the human is of a purely creative, energetic nature and has nothing to do with the consciousness, even though it's a spiritual consciousness. That's very strange. Or maybe there is a differentiation between the spirit form and the spiritual consciousness. Just speculating. As well as also not with brain flows, which can be detected and measured incorrectly since time immemorial. The consciousness has been described as the spirit of the human. Although the spirit, however, is totally of another nature than the consciousness. The spirit, or rather the spirit form of the human, is purely creative, while the consciousness is a factor of the human and responsible, while the consciousness is a factor of the human and responsible. The thoughts can be created from it, whereby also complete rational logic emerges from it, such as understanding and reasoning as well. The spirit, respectively, the spirit form, on the other hand, is only creative nature-like, predetermined energy that enlivens the human body. Never creative-nature-like. The spirit, respectively, the spirit form, on the other hand, is only creative dash nature dash like pre dash determined energy, which enlivens the human body. Wow. Kind of like the creation. I guess it's a part piece of creation. Telstock. When the spirit leaves the human body, then it escapes into its beyond plane, which exists in the same space as the present reality of the planet. Through the so-called beyond plane is in another dimension in comparison to the real material reality space. And I mean in finest spiritual energetic nature. Regarding the planet, the beyond plane, therefore, is arranged around it. Like this plane, however, also is further existing universe-wide. However, in contrast to the material reality plane, in a finest material, to which the human as a material life form is in no way has access, and consequently nothing can be seen and nothing detected. Therefore, is it in this plane impossible for human to see or somehow detect the material body escaping spirit, respectively the spirit form? They're talking about the spirit form leaving the body there. That the beyond area of the planet in a differentially dimensioned form, that the beyond area of the planet in a differentially dimensioned form than the real material reality space is not only arranged for it, but also in the entire universe, this has its reason. So emerges from the spirit teachings that if a planet is destroyed or simply made incapable of life, that the on their existing forms, existing spirit forms, and the other lying fallow spirit energies then are not destroyed, but that these emigrate in order to travel for so long through space until a new planet is found on which the human life exists. On this planet, the spirit forms settle then again, mix themselves with the already there existing ones, and so go forward again, respectively, further into a cycle of reincarnation and respectively rebirth. Wow. So if your planet gets trashed, your spirit form will travel until it finds another planet where it can engage in this whole reincarnation cycle again. This is some heavy, heavy material. Wow. Okay, and this is Ptah finishing his explanation. And perhaps this is the end of the contact report. I guess I should go back through that again. Maybe not today, but wow, that was profound. That, dear friend, is my explanation. And like I already said at the beginning, it has turned out to be somewhat detailed. This is Ptah speaking. And that was line 97. So that long, those paragraphs that I read were one line, I guess. So there are some line numbers here. This proves then that you were able to explain the whole thing a great deal better than this would be the case from my side. It is really astonishing how clear your explanations are, which are even able to be understood by people who are not familiar with the spirit teachings. Thank you, but a certain thoroughness is simply necessary. I think this as well. However, this is Ptah. However, not at this time for me that I leave again, if you have no more questions. So Ptah is saying, you know, that's all I got right now. If you have no more questions. I do not. Then live well and goodbye till we meet again. Ptah says, that will be yet again be soon. Live well, Edward, my friend. So that was Contact Report 579, and I started out talking about the Nokodamian storage banks and how the spirit form stays in your body like a guest house. Like your body is like a guest house. And it called this spirit a formless continuum in the roof of the middle brain. in the superior colliculus. And it said it was formless. The spirit form has no material nature, cannot be sick or grieve in any way. And only the human consciousness can be sick or grieve or be disturbed in any way. And it mentioned feelings, you know, like rage and envy and even blindness. And this is what I thought was so good. The human alone is therefore in every relation responsible for the well-being and sorrow of his consciousness. Consequently, he himself always is responsible for all of his strivings and thought, feeling, psychic-like suffering. Not, however, his spirit, as well as also not other humans. So we can't blame it on other humans, even if they did us wrong. On bad community or social condition, truthfully originates all of this suffering through blind and pathological as well as incorrect consciousness conditions through the thoughts and the feelings. This is a very important conduct report. This is conduct report 579. The most important point with the understanding of the consciousness is that liberation from the mentioned suffering is not outside of itself. It can only be found in itself as well as the thoughts and the feelings. A continual liberation can therefore not be found through the spirit, but only through the purification of the consciousness as well as the thoughts and the feelings. If henceforth the human wants to be free of the consciousness, thought, feeling, psychic-like suffering, as well as the problems and sorrows, and if he wants to find continuing peace, freedom, and harmony, and an everlasting inner happiness, then he must deepen his knowledge and understanding of the consciousness. Wow. And that's what we have been trying to do for quite some time here. Anyway, very kind of unusual program in some ways. I didn't mean to read so much, but sometimes we just have to do that. I hope you've enjoyed the show. You know, I will jump quickly to the Might of Thoughts because there's been some few things in there that I thought were very interesting. And I've been trying to understand a few things. And this is around page 102 of the Might of Thoughts. And it says, depressions are caused by the flattening of feelings. And I think the flattening of feelings, and I'm still learning this, the flattening of feelings is when you don't have lows or highs hardly. You're just kind of, it sounds kind of good, you're neutral in a sense, but I don't think it's a healthy neutral. Might of Thoughts, page 102. Unconscious or conscious negative thinking produces the flattening of the feelings that can lead to depressions. So you get these flattened feelings, and then a depression can come on you. I've probably experienced this now that I think about it. The Might of Thoughts, page 102, but I didn't realize my feelings were being flattened. Because I guess for you to be optimistic, your feelings couldn't be too flat. Or for you to be cheerful, I don't think your feelings could be flat. And we're told that we should be, I'm optimistic, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful. You should be all this. You probably, if you have flattened feelings, it also affects your confidence in a negative way. Depressions are based on acquired flattened feelings, which unambiguously, without any doubt, are determined by a conscious or an unconscious negative thinking. So either consciously, subconsciously, unconsciously, we're having negative thinking. If negative thinking occurs and stabilizes or deepens, then it is unavoidable. And there's no chance the positive thinking can still come about. I'm not sure exactly what that means, and I'm not even going to comment on that. Figu dictionary site. I want to pull something down or read to you something that I found. And this is a translation from the spiritual teaching, number 44, page 1777, I guess. The powers of the consciousness forms are connected. The powers of the consciousness forms are connected with the powers of the subconscious. And the subconsciousness releases its stored energy to the consciousness, which then, through its own powers, transforms the received impulses, information, data, ideas, and so forth. So your subconscious will release energy and stored knowledge to the consciousness. Page 102, my thoughts. As a matter of fact, thinking is closely connected with education, which influences one from outside, as well as self-education. The Might of Thoughts, this great book, is, I guess, what you could say from the outside, giving us education. Positive Thoughts, page 102. Positive thoughts must be learned. This is an interesting concept that we have to learn how to do this. And indeed, by every human being, because they are not simply given to anyone. So, more about this flattening of the feelings, which can then be warm or cold, and therefore full of feelings or unfeeling. So, if they're cold, you're unfeeling. If you're warm, then you have full of feeling. Both forms are susceptible and can trigger disturbance. However, the warm, and therefore the feeling-laden thoughts, can be much greater triggers for psychical disturbance. And here's another thing from Node 3060 of the Figu Dictionary. I don't know if you've ever noticed that they have nodes and they're numbered. But let me see here. And this comes from the Goblet of Truth, I believe. No, this is also from the Spirit teaching. Let me just read. In truth, the mirror of the soul refers to the subconscious. Unconscious of the subconscious and the subconsciousness forms in the memory of the subconsciousness, in which the subconscious contents of all senses, forms, and value definitions are stored, as well as the values of the conscious. In fact, of the impulsations and feelings of emotions, intentions, wishes, expectations, and attitudes, as well as individual characteristics, and so on and so forth, which are, after all, are the personality of the consciousness itself. Again, sorry for so much reading here. I haven't quite absorbed all of this yet. Depression is a state of low mood and aversion to activity. Now, that's interesting because I think when I go a little depressed, there's not a lot of activity. Person. This aversion to activity then can affect a person's thoughts, behavior, and feelings. So I speculate that the flattening of the feeling means it removes a lot of our highs that we have sometimes with normal feelings, and maybe some lows as well, but I'm not sure. Things which you have noticed, perceived, unseen, and dreamed. So this is from Goblet, the Goblet of Truth, page. Or chapter 18, verse 13, and this is about dreams. And it says the dreams, well, let's just read it. And the pictures, dreams in your sleep are as water rain that falls down on you from the clouds, so that you may be cleaned, liberated by it from maculations, unprocessed things in your inner world consciousness and your sub-inner world subconsciousness, which process the things which you have noticed, perceived, unseen consciously, whereby you are strengthened and your step gets stronger. Wow, that's way more than I can handle in one sitting. We need to go over this. Hopefully I will. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.